Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the Giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message.
I'll be honest, that song sounds like a conversation inside of my head. Sometimes I got to coach me a little bit. It's tough. Sometimes I have to look at me and tell me not to get tired. Sometimes I have to look at me and tell me not to take shortcuts. You know the shortcut when you really don't want to pray at night? Or the shortcut when you really don't want to read your Bible? I think it's in those moments where I have to look at me and say, come on, my soul, don't you get tired of me. Don't get tired on me now. Don't slow down. Let's stir something up. Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up that gift that was inside of you by the laying on of my hands. I think that there's times in our life when we just have to stir ourselves up, man. We have to make a decision that we're going to press forward even though we don't want to. Now, quitting's easy. Quitting's easy, man. Quitting on your marriage, quitting on your kids, quitting on yourself, quitting on your routines. Just quit, man. Quitting is easy. It's easy to quit. All you got to do is stop. When you look at you and you tell you that God still has a plan for you and that God still wants to breathe into you and that God still has a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plan to bless you and prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Man, in this world, it's so easy to forget that there's a future. But whether Jesus comes back to now or in 20 years, there's a future. I mean, I'm living for the future. I'm living like there. Here's the thing, man. I look for Jesus to come back any minute and live like he's not. Now, let me explain what I mean. That doesn't mean I don't live holy. What I'm saying is, man, I live planning for the future. And even in this society, when so many people are getting depressed, so many, it just seems like it's one hit after another. I'm like, but you know what? Here's the cool thing. God read like all the books of the Bible, right? It's kind of before you become a pastor, they're like, you have to read everything. It's just like a prerequisite. And here's the thing. Every time I read, there are all these horrible, crazy stories that happen. But every time God prevails. The book doesn't change just because we ran out of toilet paper last year. It doesn't like, can you imagine like if we were writing the book of our lives in the Bible, like if somehow that was going to happen, and they're like, man, and there was a great sickness that befell the world. And in all the land, there was no Charmin to be found. And you just keep writing that story. And as you write the story, man, I wonder where you would fit into that story. Because every story in the Bible has to have a man or woman of God where God just begins to shine through. Before Jesus, it was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a freak, man. Straight up, John the Baptist was a freak. Like, the dude lived in the desert and ate locusts and honey. No, not even no. I just prayed, Jesus, I'm on a honey diet. Because that's nasty. Before that, the prophet of the Old Testament, remember the ravens, came and delivered him food. Equally as disgusting. These were the same prophets who called down fire from heaven. These were the same prophets who stood before kings. These were the same prophets that prepared the way of the Lord. These are the same prophets. Man, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying is that your journey is just being written. If you will look at where you're at in this season, and you'll begin to navigate from where you are, not with the spirit of woe is me, but with the spirit of, man, what is God trying to do in me and in my life right now in this season? Like, hope is not lost. No, like for real, hope is not. And if all your hope came from the White House, you're screwed up to begin with. Regardless of party, can I get a witness? Like if you're a Democrat or Republican or an Independent or I don't vote or I just never turn on, because I don't watch the news anymore. I just got way too depressed and I had to check out. I was like, peace, y'all can have it. Regardless of what your political view is, man, our hope as Christ followers never comes from a political ideology. Never. It never comes from a nationalist ideology. I love America, but listen, America one day will go away and I'll be a citizen of heaven. I'm just here on a green card. You know what I'm talking about? It's just temporary. I don't plan on staying. So I sat there, and as I walked through this week, man, I had a couple of phone calls, and I kept circling back to this. And this is going to seem like the weirdest message you've ever heard, maybe. But I got into the Word and began to talk through it with some friends of mine, and I kept circling back to this same place in the Bible. So if you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to go 1-5. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 1-5. It's like the coolest, not coolest story you've ever heard in the Bible. I think it's super fitting to you this morning, not because you're getting ready to have an affair, I hope, but because we all have affairs over and over and over again, just not with people. This is the story of David and Bathsheba. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, one. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought all our screens just went out and they blacked them. They do that. So it says this: in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle. You ever notice that there's a season for your battle? There's a planned season for what you fight. Do you know that not every attack comes from the devil? Every attack comes from the devil, but some are attacks that are ordained by God. Meaning this, God wants you to go through some stuff. Yeah, see, you'll yep this on Sunday, but Monday you'll pray God will take it away. Sometimes you have to go through your battle. And then you'll sit and you'll ask God, why, God, why? Why, God? And here's the thing. The crazy thing is your battle oftentimes doesn't look like everybody else's battle, so you can't figure out why you're fighting it. And in this text, it says, man, it was the spring of the year. There was an appointed time. This is the time when kings go out to battle. Now, I want you to notice something, that this season was set aside for kings to lead their military armies into a fight. They fought on purpose. And in this moment, I stopped and I asked myself this question: is if this is your season to fight, this is your season to fight depression, this is your season to fight those fears that are inside of you, this is your season to fight, if this is really your season to fight, could it be because you're not common? Could it be because you are not ordinary? Could it be the battle? Maybe you've been fighting this battle a long time. Because here's what we think. We think that every battle we win is quick. Some of my best fights were long fights. I want you to think, anybody ever had a disagreement inside their family? These are the best ones. If you want to keep something going on, not immediate family, like brothers or sisters, moms and dads, those we tend to squash those, right? Because you're going to need those people, we hope. I'm just taking a guess. I'm hoping you need them. If not, you know, it's a fire sale. But if you get in a fight with a cousin or an aunt or an uncle, those things can drag out for years. I mean, you'll see them at a family reunion and you'll avoid them at the deviled egg section, and you'll go around and you'll tell grandma how bad they did you, and you'll tell your mom and daddy how bad they did you, and you'll sit and you'll go over it and you'll go over it, and you'll, man, then you'll start plotting in your mind. The night before, do I have any other plotters? I'm a plotter, man. I'm like, here's what's going to happen. And then they're going to say, and then when they say, then what I'm going to say, this is going to be good, I'm going to say, then I'm going to talk about their mama. Checkmate. Think that we fall under the misunderstanding that every battle that we fight is going to be quick. And I think that we think that because we fought the same addiction, we've fought the same pattern, we've fought the same situation in our life for so long, that we have to be losing. I just want to tell you this morning that if you've been in a fight for a long time, or you're in a fight, It could be because you're a king or a queen, and this is just your season to fight. Scripture says that when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. Poke your chest out. Be a warrior. It's easy, and you're going to have to remind yourself of this, because, it's going to make you feel better right now. But tomorrow, when hell opens the door again, and you're back in the fight, you're going to need to remind yourself of it. Come on, my soul. Don't you get tired. Don't you give up. Because you've got a lion inside of you. You have a fighter inside of you. Whatever you're battling this morning, keep fighting it. Scripture says this, resist the enemy and he will. But notice I never told you how much you had to resist him. Does this make sense? He said, man, do you know, how much resistance? Because if you were like me, I love cop videos. There's resisting arrest, and then there's crazy resisting arrest. Right? Like, there's like, I snatched my arm away from the officer, I resisted. Some of us just think the officer should quit, right? Because when the enemy comes to attack, what he comes to do is arrest you. He comes to arrest your emotion. He comes to arrest your moments. He comes to arrest your peace. He comes to arrest, Scripture says he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But here's my question. How much are you willing to fight? Are you really willing to show your crazy side? Southern women know what I'm talking about. Your mama taught you to be proper until you take your earrings out. Can I get a witness from somebody who knows exactly what I'm talking about? Like, she loves Jesus, and she is a proper woman, but if she goes, oh, no, wait a minute, it's like, oh, snap. Let's just start praying, because it's about somebody about to get whipped. Let me ask you a question. When did you stop having your mind so made up that you will resist at any cost to be what God said that you could really be? So I want you to pay attention to this. It says, in the spring of the year, when kings went out to battle, David sent Joab, his servants with him, and all of Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbath, and David remained at Jerusalem, verse 2. First of all, actually, stay where you're at. Go back to verse 1. I want you to notice that verse 1, go back to verse 1. It said, the spring of the year when kings go out. Why don't you read the end of this and tell me where David the king was? Where are you positioned? Like, are you really positioned close to God? And you're going to go where God tells you to go and do what God tells you to do? Or are you going to get out of position? I'm a big football fan. Football season's getting ready to start. I believe that's the time of the Lord. I'm not a pro football fan. I'm just saying it's politics and craziness that's all over that and way too much money. I like college football for the most part because those guys get brain damage for just an education. I'm just saying. I respect that. I show up for that. And so here's the thing. If you want the other team to score a touchdown, the quickest way you can do it is to get out of position. If you want to drop something you were supposed to receive or catch, the quickest way for you to do it is to be out of position. If you make up your mind, not only am I going to fight the enemy, but I'm going to stay in the position that God wants me to stay in. That means this, when it's time to worship, I'm going to be in my worship position. And when it comes time to pray, I'm going to be in my praying position. And when it comes time to read the word, I'm going to be in my Bible position. And when it comes time to be hopeful when everybody else is hopeless, I'm going to be in that position. Not because I want to be in that position, because if you watch football players get tired. They get broken down. They get bloody. They get beat up. There are guys who play with broken bones and literally will go to the sideline and they shoot me up with something and put me back in the game, which is actually really funny to watch. But you can tell, especially a lineman, you tell when a lineman's been shot up with something. He'll make the block, and then he's like, yeah, you need a straight line test. You know what I mean? When you say, Lord, I don't care what you have to shoot me full of. You may have to give me an extra dose of the Holy Spirit, but I'm not coming out of the game. David gets out of position. What always follows when we get out of position and we're in a battle is failure. And that is not God's will for your life. God never puts you in a battle that isn't rigged. It's for real. It's not a fair fight. God only puts you against opponents he's already equipped you to whip. Now, some are well below your skill level. I used to love, my son was in martial arts growing up, and we would go to these big tournaments, and sometimes he would get dropped into these people because of his age. Now, my son was like 7 foot tall when he was like 4. And there was nothing better than watching, you know, Gigantor walk out of his, right? It's like, this is going to go bad. Because, like, he could, like, they were still on their bench and he was kicking them in the head. It was just like, I mean, it was like so much distance. And it was fun to watch those matches because I was like, oh, somebody go get beat up, right? You know, and you're like, and mama's happy because, like, her kid's going to win. He's not even going to get touched, you know. Pee-wee's not going to do a thing, you know. So we would do that. And then, but when he sparred, he actually sparred with grown men. So because he was so big, they wouldn't let him beat up on kids in class because that's kind of bad for, you know, your place. So they put him with like 30 and 40-year-old men, and he just got destroyed. And I never will forget, man, so he started when he was like 12, I guess. And I never will forget when he was about 14, he was with these big guys, and they're all wearing gear. And they beat him up. He'd come off the mat wanting to cry. And, you know, just, you know, because you get kicked by grown men. I'm a grown man. You kick me, I'm probably going to come off crying because my abs are not made to absorb anything but donuts. I'm just letting you know. So he's there. And I never will forget, he was this 40-year-old grown man friend of ours. And my son hauls off and just bam, and you heard it hit. And the guy goes, oh, and I was, ooh. And they had to stop the match so the grown man could catch his breath. And I saw something in that moment in my son's eyes and brain shift gears. And he's like, oh, I got something for you. Now, he still carried a few home. Oh, if you never carried one home, you ain't never really been in a fight. And let me tell you, if you ain't gone home, well, that was bad. What happened? I lost. What'd you learn? Man, I'm not going to let him have the first shot first, because when I was little, my mama said, if somebody hits you, hit them back. And then my dad stepped in. My dad said, if you know you're going to get in a fight, hit them first. Well, when was the last time you knew that you were going to get in a fight with the enemy and you just went ahead and struck first? I fear that depression coming on, so I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin to stand up and worship the Lord. I tell you what, I feel that depression come on, so I'm going to dive into the Word. I feel that thing coming on, so instead of waiting on it to come get me, you ever tried to run from it and act like it wasn't there, and then the next thing you know, it was beating the crap out of you? What if you just stood up and said, you know what, I've got a lion inside of me. And I refuse to be out of position in this moment in my life. Verse 2. And it happened. Doesn't it always? It happens all the time. I got ready to title this message, It Happens. You'll get that later. Because whenever you're in the battle but you're out of position, it always follows. It often hits the fan. And it happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch out of position. He was walking on the roof of the king's house when he saw from the roof a beautiful woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. Does anybody already figure out where we're in trouble? Read the last line of this. From the roof, a woman bathing, and a woman was very beautiful. That is a woman bathing. Oh, happy day. This is every man's struggle. Don't act like it's not. From the time you're 12 till you die, this is every man's struggle. And it always finds you when you don't want it to. It always finds you. And if you're not a dude and this isn't something you struggle with, you can put anything else that's in there that catches your eye. Do you know that fear can catch your eye and seem beautiful at the moment? Because what you'll do is you'll reason your fear and your depression out. You'll get in a battle and you'll begin to side more with the enemy in your mind than you do the hope and the promise and the purpose that God put you here with. It's kind of like this. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I mean, you'd be a little bit more boisterous about that part. That's kind of the goal of all this. Our goal is to go to heaven. But the old saying is this, that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It's that battle of the unknown. In those moments when we face death, how do we face it? Do we face it by going, man, there's a lion inside of me. God, what you put inside of me is about to be with you. But it only happens when you stop looking at sin as if it's beautiful. When you stop looking at the things you're not supposed to do as if they're beautiful. I hate it when people tell stories about pre-Jesus that are more exciting than post-Jesus. I always look at those people and I'm like, well, you're doing nothing. You're just waiting to die. What is your story that's being written in your battle, in your time? What does it look like? Like if we were going to write this, like the story, the book of whatever your name is, we were going to make it like a plug into the back of the Bible. Like here it is, the 2021 version of what's going on. What does your story look like? What are you battling? What are you looking at that you may need to resist? Matter of fact, if we go to verse 3, it says this. It said, and David sent to inquire about the woman. And one said, is this not the Bathsheba, the daughter and the wife? And so we figured this out. And he's like, hey, if I'm not mistaken, the chick you're looking at is so-and-so's daughter and married to some dude. You ever got ready to mess with what you knew you're supposed to leave alone? And I'm not even talking about like an affair. Like don't even make it that deep. Because then what you do is you fall into self-righteousness.
Well, I'm not going to have an affair. I'm better than that.
Yeah, but are you better than falling into fear, depression, the funk? You know how many people walk into church on Sunday morning, how you doing? They go, I'm tired. Do you know what I want to do? I want to go. But really, this is the most important day of your life. This is the most important day of your week. Why? Because this is going to equip you for the rest of the junk that's going to follow you the next 6 days till you come back. If you're going to be tired, go to work tired. Sleep in on Saturday morning. Whatever your day off is, sleep the whole day awake. You're not doing any. But if you come in not ready to be equipped for your next battle or to help somebody through their next battle, you're failing your assignment. Because you were sent here as a king or a queen for a battle of the season that we're all in. Does this make any sense? And he sits there and he said, man, but I'm going to put counsel in front of you. When you get ready to fall in love with what you're not supposed to fall in love with, I'm going to put something there that's going to try to stop you. Hello? That's right now. I'm your one said. Don't fall in love with what you're not supposed to fall in love with. Some of us fall in love with getting ahead at work. I want to be the boss. Some of us fall in love with, I want to have a bunch of money. Some of us fall in love with fun. Why are you tired? I stayed up all night playing video games. Well, that's the dumbest thing you could do. I mean, I'm great to enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. We got some gamers. I'm kind of ish a gamer. Every now and then I like to play a little phone action to unwind. I like to match three things and make them blow. You know what I'm talking about? Like just, I play Uno on my phone. One night it was like 10 o'clock and I'm like, ooh, I should have been in bed like 30 minutes ago because I'm 40 something years old and I go to bed at 9:30 now. You can judge me however you want to. But if I don't get a solid 8 hours, I'm not what you want to talk to in the morning. Like you don't want me counseling you, but you got problems. I didn't go to sleep, and I lost 500 gold coins that don't really have any value. Because my friend played a draw four when they should have played a red three. See how easy it is to have an affair with something that really doesn't matter. Man, some of us have an affair with TV. Some of us have an affair with Facebook. I was sitting somewhere this week and somebody goes, oh, wait a minute, I got to check Facebook. And I'm like, well, gotta? That sounds like a crack addiction. I got to check it. If you check Facebook more than you check the Bible, you're probably getting misinformation. had somebody, I said that, and somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, you don't have to worry about me. I only follow Christian stuff. Come here. Read it for yourself. Because when your battle comes, they're not going to know what to post that you're going to need. This is your battle. You have to be in the right position, and you can't fall in love with the wrong things, even though they look good on the surface. Can I give you one more example? So we went, Friday the 13th was this week, and Krispy Kreme, which we haven't had in a long time, I've been eating super clean. Well, not super clean-ish. I've been, okay, it's been better than normal. But they had 2 dozen donuts for $13, which is a deal if you're a Krispy Kreme fan, you know. So I got a dozen hot now, and I got a dozen assorted. And so we took them home that night. Myself, my wife, my son, and Kelly were over there, and we were watching Hallmark movies because that's what I do. Don't judge me. It's my one girl thing. And I eat a hot now donut with the family. And then I ate another one. And everybody else stopped. But I'm not a quitter. So I ate 4 hot now donuts and a chocolate iced with cream filling because they were lonely. I ate 5 donuts. Here's the bad thing. At the third one, my wife said, are you sure you really? Because at a certain age, if you eat 5 donuts past 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, you will have acid reflux the rest of the night. Can I get a witness? Like, there's not enough Tums that'll make 5 donuts go away. I had them coming out of a Pez dispenser, just, and it's not going to make that junk go away. And here's the bad thing. And one said, and one in this case was my wife, looked at me and goes, you know what? Are you sure you really need a third donut? I said, no, I don't need it. But I'm not a quitter. And I ate it. And then I started feeling bad about my sin, so I got the 4th donut and ate it in the kitchen. A step back from the bar so that they couldn't see me. And my wife goes, what are you doing in there? And I'm like, crap. Because the first thing that happens is when you get out of position and you're doing something you're not supposed to, is you're going to try to lie about it. And the first thing I said was what every man of God would say. What are you doing in there? Adam and Eve said nothing. They got away with it. She said, is that a good idea? And I said, yeah. Because I can handle it. See, some of us, when we start falling into our sin, automatically think that we can handle our sin and that we can manage our sin. And you can manage your sin and handle your sin up to the point where your sin and your problem begins to handle and manage you. See, I was good with those donuts till 11 o'clock rolled around, and they started trying to come back up my esophagus and say hello. Because there's pleasure in sin for a season. People go, man, sin disgusts me. Then you are doing it way wrong. It's not the sin I have a problem with physically, right? Like in my flesh, I enjoy sin. It's the consequences of sin that bother me. David finds this out, man. David ends up having this lady's husband murdered. He ends up not being able to build God's temple because he has this affair. Now here's the great thing, that if you've moved into a battle and you've moved out of position, because we're in the dispensation of grace, when we're in that season of Christ, there's still time to pivot back and be right with God and fulfill the destiny that you were created for. But you're in a battle. You just got to make sure your position stays right. Verse 4. David sent messages or took her, and she came to him and he laid with her. Then she returned to her house. Verse 5. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, I'm pregnant. When you leave here, you're going to need to understand one of two things. You're either going to leave here pregnant with problems or pregnant with possibilities. If you stay having an affair with things that you're not supposed to be touching, you're in relationships, you're familiar with emotions, you're whatever the Lord's telling you to walk away from this morning, you'll either leave here pregnant with problems or pregnant with possibilities. Meaning this, if you want to be pregnant with possibilities, align yourself with the Word of God and the will of God and the promises of God. It'll change the way you look at everything. Paul makes this statement, to live as Christ and die as gain. Are you stupid, Paul? No. Like we golf clap that at church, right? To live as Christ, die as gain. Till God calls us to live it. Man, to live for God means that I'm going to live with such promise, with such possibilities. I'm going to live each moment expecting God to do something amazing. You got to remember, Paul's the dude who every time he took a cruise, it got shipwrecked. Never mistake your battle for your purpose. When you're in your purpose, the battle will follow. You ever wonder that maybe you struggle with the same problem over and over and over again because you've got so much promise inside of you? If you leave here and you say, you know what, man, I'm going to make sure that I stay in position. I'm going to make sure that in this fight I'm where I'm supposed to be. Then I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be so pregnant with possibilities it's not funny. What God can do in and through your life can only be limited by your ability to stay obedient. But I'm also going to make you another problem, that if you continue to court things that you're supposed to leave alone, you will birth problems over and over and over again. So many Christians spend their life walking around a tree. They do good for a while, then they do bad for a while, then they repent, then they start trying to do good, and they do good for a while, but then something beautiful catches their eye, and they fall into it, and they spend their whole life going in circles. What I want you to do is break that cycle. I want you to fall so in love with what Christ is doing in your life. Yeah, man, but I'm battling depression. Battle it. You know the reason I can quote Jeremiah 29:11 off the top of my head? I went through a depression. I had to fight it, man. It was bad. And then one day the Lord looked at me and said, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to bless you." Well, that's a good day. Plans to prosper you. Come on now. To give you a hope. Well, God, I don't feel hopeless. And a future. That was the first day I got out of bed and I took a shower and went and started doing what I was supposed to do again. And then every day it got easier. And I clung to that promise over and over. And it's like one sentence out of the Bible. And I clung to it. And God began to restore me. And I began to win my battle. And because I was getting drugged. And then I got in the right position. And then God began to do more and more and more until all of a sudden I couldn't believe everything God was doing. So with every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around here online, wherever you're at. If you're here today, say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here. And I'm a Christ follower, man. I am a believer in Christ. But you know what? I feel like I have been really courting some stuff that I'm not supposed to. I've been looking at some stuff. I've become familiar with some stuff that I'm not supposed to become familiar with. I'm not made to do this. I'm not made to hold this kind of depression. I'm not made to hold this kind of fear. I'm not made. I've got to refocus back in on the things of God, the promises of God. I've got to learn how to live this life in a way where I stay close to God and His truths. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray over you. If that's you, will you just slip your hand up real quick? Just keep it up just for a second. Nobody looking around. Just, can I pray with you? Father, right now, for all the hands that are raised across this building. Father, you've created them to be kings and queens, God. You've created them to be servants of the Most High God. You said that you adopted us into your family. God, co-heirs with Jesus to the things of God. So, Father, right now, let us live like people with that kind of calling in our life. God, let us live with people of that kind of promise in our life. Father, right now, I just ask that you give them strength for the battle. Father, I pray that you don't take the battle away, but, Father, teach them how to be strong in the battle. God, teach them how to win the battle. God, teach them how to cleave to you. God, how to use your word as a weapon. God, how to use their worship as a weapon. Father, how to draw nigh unto you, God, knowing that you'll draw close to them. Father, we're going to give you praise knowing that the victory's already there. In Jesus' name. All across this room and in house, if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, my real issue is I don't know Jesus at all as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never accepted him into my life. Whether you're here or watching online, we want to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to accept Christ this morning, will you just slip your hand up? Again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. All across this room, for those that raised their hand, those that raised their hand online, will you just pray this prayer out loud with me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. I ask you to be my Savior and forgive me of my sins. Today I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, whether you gave your life to Christ here in-house or online, we'd love to encourage you. Just email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We'd just love to connect with you. We'd love to partner you with somebody who can help you in your discipleship process, coming to know Jesus and how to grow in your faith. Man, it's one thing to accept Jesus. It's tough to learn how to walk it out. And, man, we're excited about that. We're excited to partner with you. Man, we want to thank y'all so much for coming today. Our visitors, we'd love to see you underneath the black tent. We've got a T-shirt just to say thank you for coming. Man, we're so glad that you're here. We'd love to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you, and we can't wait to see you again next time.